Welcome to the Chapel Springs Church Podcast. Today is day 3 of Holy Week, also known as Spy Wednesday. Today's time of reflection and devotion is brought to you with our very own Pastor Gary West. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into today's devotional focused on Spy Wednesday.
Well, here we are in the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. We're talking about Wednesday. And the verse that we're reading from is Mark chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, and the character of this day, we're focusing on Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. And there's just a couple things in this small verse that don't get the whole story. In verse 10 and 11, it just pretty much simply says that, and Judas went out and met with the officers of the temple guard and some of the high priest and agreed to sell out Jesus Christ and work out a deal, and they were happy to say, yeah, we're going to pay you, and they went their way. So this is a day that's in between a lot of events, and as you study the week of Easter, you can study it either in a timeline or you can do sort of a character sketch, but as you watch it, you see several things taking place, and this day is actually, in my mind, the culmination point of Jesus' entire existence on this earth, the end, which he has been walking to and guiding his disciples to and speaking of in sometimes cryptic terms to those around him. This is why he came this week, this event, the things that are about to happen is why he came. And it's interesting, as you watch and read and listen to Jesus as he is progressing down this week, what I notice is that he starts to speak more prophetically and explicitly. In the past, he's sort of talking about the kingdom coming and him, you know, going away and all this stuff in sort of soft terms. And now we start to see, as he is getting ready to culminate his mission, we start to see the Spirit come alive in Christ, and he starts to speak with very much clarity and specifically. For example, he says, you know, go over here and meet this man. He's got a donkey and a foal colt, and say to him this, and he's going to let you give us his donkey. You know, very clear terms. He, as he's seeking a place to enjoy the Passover meal, he's saying, go to this room, find this man, say these words, and he's going to release this room to you. He starts, as we see throughout this week, he starts to say emphatically and very clearly to each of his disciples, you're going to betray me. He turns to Peter and says, you know, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me before the sun comes up tomorrow. You're going to deny you know me three times. And so we see this, what I call a spiritual overlay. There's something happening here that's both in the physical and in the social, in the geopolitical, but there's also this flight path of spiritual journey that's going to the cross, and it's going to happen. What happens here is, to me, interesting, is these characters, like Judas in this example, becomes a pivotal part of this puzzle, and it raises for me a whole bunch of questions. You know, so we have this focus on Judas. And Judas, when you go back and, you know, if you were going to have your name put in the Bible, poor Judas, every time Judas is mentioned, even in his introduction, which gives you a sense that this most of the scripture was written really kind of after the fact, but in the introduction of the disciples, going back clear to there, you see Judas, comma, the one who betrayed Jesus. And so how would you like to be known and be recorded forever in scripture as Gary, son of Floyd, comma, and then them spill out your deepest failure and embarrassment. And so it is. And so Judas also, there's two Judases, right, in the disciples. And so this is always this delineation of poor Judas, comma, the one who failed Jesus. And here's where it starts to happen. But you want to get the whole story. Those two verses in Mark chapter 14 aren't enough. And one of the things that I always thought would be really cool is, wouldn't it be cool if you could like lace together all these stories that are written in the different Gospels, in different points of clarity, different perspectives, weave them together one story, and see all the detail in it. And so I went to Dr. Chapman. I said, man, wouldn't that be something? He goes, you mean this? And he gave me, turned around from his library and handed me to borrow a harmony of the four Gospels. And this is really a spectacular book, because what they've done is they've taken Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they've taken all the stories of Christ, and in a column format, you get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they bold printed, as the story goes down, the things that are kind of unique in each of their encounters. And so if you read the bold print, dancing around between each of the Gospels, you get this amazing story that you wouldn't otherwise get in Mark 14, verses 10 and 11. And so as we see Judas Iscariot, we see things that start to happen. You know, in the previous day, Pastor Bernice talking on Tuesday about Mary and Martha and the perfume. But in that story, we see Judas Iscariot, who's the major complainer about how much money Mary is wasting on this perfume, right? And they even say that after quoting him, how would you like to have this said about you as a narrative? It says, he did not say, he talks about, you know, you should give all that money to the poor. And they say to him about him, he didn't really mean that. Well, you know, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and the keeper of the money bag. So we get this sort of a character sketch coming into Wednesday, and so here we are. Now, another key thing that happens, because what's going to happen is this is the day Judas is going to go away to the leaders and sell out Jesus Christ. But what's not hidden, what's not written in Mark but listed in Luke in this story, it starts off with, says, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers and the guards and to discuss what with them how he might betray Jesus. And then you get over to the Mark counter. And then he asks them, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? This is a count in Matthew. And so they counted out 30 pieces of silver, and this is going to be important later, and you're going to see this play out in Thursday when Judas, after he sells Jesus out, figures out, really, for the first time, I think, he's astonished by the fact that they're going to kill him, and that just grieves his spirit so much. I think he thought something else was going to happen. I don't know what it was that he thought, but here we get a different look at Judas. It's almost like, that's not what I wanted. And so he, you know, as he goes and throws the money back to the leaders fulfill Jeremiah's prophecy by saying, we can't take this money back, it's blood money, and they go out and buy the potter's field, and that becomes a cemetery for foreigners, and it fulfills the prophecy of Jeremiah. So all these little bits of storyline that take place are either causing things to happen that have to happen due to prophecy, or are explicitly in kind of a very identifiable way identifying prophecy. And so we see that in Judas's story as he comes through this. So it's Judas, comma. And so as you go through the story on your own, look for these little tidbits and look for these little nuances, and I'm left with these questions. These questions I'll leave with you, and they're really unanswerable questions, but they cause you to think. I mean, Jesus chose Judas. Jesus chose him. When did Jesus know what Judas would be doing? Possibly from the beginning, or maybe it was revealed to him. I don't think Judas knew at the beginning what he would end up be doing. So the question I have, what was his purpose? What was his purpose in life? Because he goes out and he hangs himself. Did Judas really have a choice? Two occasions you see that the spirit of Satan enter him. Just before he goes and hangs out with these chief priests and leaders. And also on Thursday night, when just before he goes to actually do the betrayal, once again, this very, very peculiar thing says, in the evils, the spirit entered him, and he went off and did this thing. I almost wonder if Jesus, when he said, what you have to do, go do quickly, if he was really talking to Satan, or was he talking to Judas? But we have Judas, K, carrying out this pivotal point, and now things are in motion as we go to Thursday. Pastor TJ is going to talk to you about Thursday tomorrow, and then we're on our way to the cross, where the greatest gift was given to mankind, and that was the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there redemption and grace for Judas? I don't know. He certainly was remorseful, but he was a pivotal part in this fascinating story of the journey to the cross. And I just pray as you walk this week with us that God will talk to you and show you little tidbits that maybe you haven't seen before. God, as we end the day and we look forward tomorrow and this weekend and all that it means to us, help us with what happens after the comma in our life. May it be said of each of us that we were children of the King, that we were blood-bought, forgiven, children of Christ, walking uprightly to serve you. Bless all of us in our congregation as we endeavor to follow you in a deeper and more personal way. In your precious name, amen.